Let's welcome into the program. Get the story from up in South Bend from Loose Emoji, Blue and Gold Illustrated, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Lou.
Lou.
Good morning, John and Hugh.
So, Lou, we all know about Ian Book, you know, down here in Georgia, but who else do we have to worry about on that offensive side of the ball?
Well, Chase Claypool has really developed as a receiver. The outside, he's at the boundary position, which was manned by Miles Boykin last year, who's with the Baltimore Ravens, was a third-round pick. Good size, tremendous. He's just become so much more in tune with everything, consistent. He can go deep, not necessarily the biggest deep threat, but he can go across the middle. He's become fearless. He can take a short gain and make it into a big one. I think, you know, at the end of spring, Brian Kelly even indicated that he has the makings to become a first-round pick as an NFL receiver. They'd really love to have Cole Kmet back at tight end. He broke his collarbone during August 8th practice. He's going to be available this week for the first time, according to Brian Kelly. Whether he starts, I don't know, but that would be a big help overall to the offense. Chris Fink in the slot, he caught 49 passes last year. Claypool caught 50. So there's experience there. There's people who can make plays, but not having Jafar Armstrong, their best running back, that's a main question mark at this point.
Loose Emoji of Blue and Gold Illustrated, Georgia Notre Dame, Under the Lights, Athens, Saturday night. Going to be 93,000-plus in the all-time record crowd at Sanford Stadium. Lou, Notre Dame's certainly used to playing in front of 80-some-thousand at home. They play at Michigan. They play in big venues. So this is not any big deal to them to come down here and play. But it is different to come down here and play because it is the South. And there is a bit of a different vibe to it than there is at Ohio State or at Purdue or at Michigan up in the North. You know, it's a little bit intimidating to some guys at times because – it's got kind of a different feel to it. Is that something that concerns you at all?
It becomes a concern if you fall behind early and the crowd really gets into it. And in these big game-type environments, that's been kind of the biggest problem for Notre Dame. I mean, they're 0-6 in, like, major bowls, big-type game environments since 2000. And during that 0-6, they've played 360 minutes, and they've been in the lead for 2 minutes, 57 seconds. And that happened at Miami in 2017 as well. Is Notre Dame took the opening possession, just barely missed on a touchdown to maybe take a quick 7-0 lead, and then all of a sudden the floodgates opened, and Miami ended up winning 41-8. But the momentum, you could just feel it generated inside, and I think it had an effect on the team. So I think that is what is so crucial to Notre Dame is to, you know, in the first half, you don't have to necessarily have the lead, but, you know, just stay within striking distance, perhaps keep the crowd out of the game, and then strike, I think, in the second half, because that's kind of been the history is in these type of games many times. In environments such as this. And it was almost like that in 2017 when you had about 35,000 Georgia fans at Notre Dame Stadium. You know, you could sense then that, wow, this is a different crowd. They travel well and they're very, very supportive. So I think that's going to be a crucial element.
We're speaking to Loose Emoji, Notre Dame reporter on 92.9 The Game. So, Lou, you know, it's been a couple years ago, but I think that, you know, when the last time Georgia played Notre Dame, that rushing attack was a pretty big factor for them. Do you think going into this game that Notre Dame's defense is going to try to stop the run before they stop the pass against Georgia?
They absolutely have to be able to do that. And, I mean, next to take it one game at a time, is there a bigger cliche in football than you've got to be able to run the ball and you've got to be able to stop the run? That's what Brian Kelly said in the preseason will be the determining factor of whether Notre Dame is going to be, you know, once again a playoff caliber team, because they lost their two outstanding inside linebackers from the past 2 years, Drew Tranquil and Tavon Coney. They lost their first-round tackle, Gary Tillery. And in the first two games of the season, Notre Dame right now out of 130 FBS teams ranks number 120 in rush defense. at 230.5 yards per game. Georgia is eighth in the country with 286.7 yards rushing per game. Now, obviously, you know, it's only game two, and we're only going into game three. There's not a huge sample size. But if those areas don't improve significantly, and if Georgia controls the line of scrimmage, then that makes it for a long end.
We're talking with Lou Somogyi about Notre Dame and Georgia coming up Saturday night in Athens on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Let's go back to that moment because this is, you know, a lot of Georgia fans, as you imagine, Lou, down here are talking about what happened when the committee decided to pick Notre Dame over Georgia in the playoff last year. And then Georgia fans, you know, getting all in their feelings about what happened, you know, in the Orange Bowl, even though that may have been more Clemson being great than Notre Dame being bad. Kind of payback in their minds a little bit. Do you understand that the Georgia fans really want to prove that they should have been? And I know this is about this year, but it's still for a lot of Georgia fans about what happened with the committee last year.
Well, I can only look at it from a Notre Dame perspective, John and Hugh. And Notre Dame has nothing to apologize for going into the playoff. And this is what I always say to Georgia fans, is you were in the playoff last year. If you beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, you're in the playoff. Everyone talks about, let's go to eight teams. You were in the eight-team playoff. You lost a game during the regular season. LSU, you know, nominated you, but you have a chance now. You have a second chance. You're in the final eight. Everyone wants an eight-team playoff. You've got to expect. You were there. Georgia was in the eight-team playoff. You beat Alabama. You advance to the 14th, just like the NCAA tournament. You advance. You lose, you don't. They had their opportunity, and you just can't justify putting a two-loss team, no matter who they played, no matter who they lost to, over a team that, against an FBS-caliber schedule, plays in FCS teams, went undefeated. I know that that's not going to be a popular opinion down there, but I that's the reality.
Well, I mean, because it's not because you didn't play the conference championship game and you didn't subject yourself to that. So that's I guess what I'm trying to get at isn't the semantics of it. I'm just trying to get at that there's still some hard feelings about what happened, and so that's kind of a little bit of an undercurrent to the game that's going to be kind of interesting to watch.
I understand that. I'm just saying that Georgia controlled its own destiny last year to get to the playoffs.
We're talking with Lou Somogyi of Blue and Gold Illustrated. To that end, Georgia's defense and its rush ends were a problem for them. It's been one of the sore spots, one of the few sore spots that they've had over the last few years with Kirby Smart. They seem to have solved that a little bit. They have a couple of young rush ends, one of whom was the number one player in high school in the nation last year, named Nolan Smith, who can really get after the quarterback. How does Notre Dame, you know, slow down that Georgia front for keeping Ian Book clean in the pocket?
Well, Ian's pretty mobile. I think that's an underrated aspect of his game. He was the leading rusher last week against New Mexico with 46 yards, and against Louisville he had 81 yards, so that's 127 yards. The essential aspect there is to just maintain a poise in the pocket when the rush does come, because that was a problem against Clemson in the Cotton Bowl last year, and then it showed some against Louisville as well. And I think against New Mexico, he just had made a more concerted effort to keep his eyes downfield and maybe not bail so much. Notre Dame has a veteran line. Robert Haynes, at right tackle, is in his third year starting. Liam Eichenberg, he has potential first-round status, not maybe this year, but next year. He's a senior. He started all of last year as well. You know, Tommy Kramer is in his third year starting. He and Haynes were both on the unit that 2 years ago won the Joe Moore Award for best offensive line. Aaron Banks started last year at left guard. You know, their one new guy is at center, a sophomore, Jared Patterson, who was left tackle last year, but is considered one of the top five linemen this year. So there's experience there. Brian Kelly mentioned how this year's Georgia defensive line is bigger than the one from 2 years ago. Now, the one 2 years ago also was extremely athletic. You know, you had guys like Lonzo Carter and then, of course, Rakan Smith and the at the linebacker core. But, you know, hey, look, when you play Georgia, you're going to be getting – you're going to be facing great, great talent. But offensive line recruiting and tight end recruiting – have always been a strength for Notre Dame as well. So it's going to be big on big there.
Louis, appreciate you taking a few minutes. We are all looking forward to the buzz down here is insane for this game. And, you know, they're saying, you know, in my opinion, biggest non-conference game ever in the history of Georgia. I do appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me.